a single story of His infinite glory, captured through divine discourses, music, bhajans, and through Vedas, talk shows, interviews, panel discussion, and study circles. All brought to you live from the epicenter of our times, Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Vahini Satsang. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and I was not able to continue the satsang for a couple of weeks because I was away on official duty. By Bhagavan's grace and His immense blessings, I'm grateful to Him that I am back with all of you to continue this contemplation on this beautiful series of volumes that Bhagwan has personally written. It is so heartening that so many Sai centers and Sai samitis in India and abroad are now focusing on studying the Vahinis. A lot of people now are utilizing the time that Bhagwan has given us during these times of global medical emergency to use it in stepping up their sadhana. They are utilizing this opportunity that Bhagwan has given us to study the literature which is meant to emancipate us in these times. And as we read the Vahinis, as we meditate on them, new insights keep surfacing. Every time you read the same chapter, Bhagwan will give you a message that is applicable only for you. Swami is speaking to us through the Vahinis. After 108 episodes of Prema Vahini, we started Sandeha Nivarini, and chapter by chapter, as we started covering this beautiful text of question and answers, which Bhagwan Himself has questioned as a bhakta and answered as the divine. We were in chapter 7, and this chapter 7 has many beautiful tenets, many beautiful principles that Swami has clearly delineated for all of us to practice. Swami says that you should spend ample time in each of these principles that I have outlined, and that is what we have been doing in the last few episodes. So let's listen again to what Bhagwan has written in this chapter 7. We are in the third segment of chapter 7, segment 7.3. So let's listen to it. And today we will discuss the 27th point and, if time permits, the 28th point. So here is what Bhagwan has given us in segment 7.3.
15. Try to keep under check the five sins that the body commits: killing, adultery, theft, drinking intoxicants, and meat eating. The sacred life can reach the highest if these can be completely avoided. 16. One must be always vigilant, without a moment's carelessness, against the eight sins that the mind perpetrates: kamam or lust, krodham or anger, lobham or greed, moham or attachment, mada or ego, envy, hatred and pride. Man's primary duty is to keep all these things at a safe distance. 17. When in pursuit of wrong actions, man's mind acts hurriedly. During these times, without allowing the mind to go its way, remember the name of the Lord and attempt to do some good deed or the other. Those who do thus will certainly become fit for the grace of the Lord. 18. First, give up the evil tendency to feel envious at the prosperity of others and the desire to harm them. Be happy that others are happy. Sympathize with those who are in adversity and wish for their well-being. This is the sign of God's love present in you. 19. Patience is all the strength that man needs. 20. Those who aspire for happiness must be engaged in good deeds. 21. It is easy to conquer anger through love, attachment through reasoning, falsehood through truth, bad through good, and greed through charity. 22. Do not respond to the words of the wicked. It is good to keep them at a distance. In fact, do not have any relationship with such people. 23. Seek the company of good men, even at the cost of your honor and life. However, pray to God to bless you with the discrimination needed to distinguish between the good and the bad. You must also endeavor to do this with the intelligence given to you. 24. No doubt, those who conquer kingdoms and earn fame in the world are hailed as heroes. But truly, those who have conquered the senses must be acclaimed as the conquerors of the universe. 25. The results of one's action, whether good or bad, continue to always pursue man. 26. Greed yields only sorrow. Contentment is best. There is no happiness greater than contentment. 27. The evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. 28. Bear with fortitude both loss and grief, and search for that which will benefit you and grant you joy. 29. When you are invaded by anger, practice silence or remember the name of the Lord. Do not remind yourself of things which will inflame the anger more. That will do incalculable harm. 30. From this moment, avoid all bad habits. Do not delay or postpone. They do not contribute the slightest joy or happiness.
So that is what Bhagwan has given to us in segment 7.3. And in the previous session, we had Professor Bhagya with us, and he shared his thoughts on points number 25 and 26, where Swami is talking about contentment, he's talking about overcoming greed. When you come to Point number 27, Swami says, the evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin life itself. I remember Swami saying, you should run away from a bad thought or a bad quality, just like there is a cobra on your bed. Suppose you're going to sleep and you find a cobra on your bed, what would be your reaction? You would just jump out, isn't it? I said, that is how scared and that is how far, that is how fearful you should be of having an evil trait in you, because it will ruin life itself. And Swami has given so many instances and methodologies how to uproot the evil from the mind. In fact, if you see Bhagwan's relationship with every individual, it is just this, isn't it? Slowly, steadily, Swami was removing all that is not pleasant in us, because he knows that if it continues to exist in us, then it will bring our life to no good end. And that is the reason why the moment you come into contact with Bhagwan, the moment you experience his love, slowly you start feeling how he purifies you, slowly how he sizes your greed, slowly how he tempers your desires, slowly how he chisels your ego, slowly how he subdues your anger, and slowly how he broadens your heart so that you are less jealous, less envious, and slowly he broadens your mind so that you learn to love more, to accommodate more, to not have a hatred, serious hatred against anyone. You may agree to disagree, but not hate anyone. Those are the slow processes that happen. And it happens in the life of every student, in the life of every devotee, in the life of every spiritual seeker. I'm reminded of the story of Brother Indreshwar Singh, who is the scion of the ruling dynasty of Jamnagar and Sirohi, located in the West Indian state of Gujarat. He joined the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School in 1986, and after completion of his schooling in 1988, he joined the Vrindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for his bachelor's degree in commerce. And after he graduated from this course in 1991, he has been occupied with the management and development of his dynasty's assets. He is also passionately engaged in the study and research of various alternate systems of medicine, Reiki, pranic healing, vibronics and so on. Bhagwan used to call Indreshwar affectionately as Gopal, and he is a regular visitor to Prashant Nilayam, and at times he would stay for months together to bask in the physical proximity of Bhagwan. I had the opportunity once to do a conversation with Brother Indreshwar, and in his journey to Swami, I discovered how Swami slowly transformed all that Swami felt has to be changed in him so that he becomes closer to the divine. So his journey to Prashant Nilayam started in mid-80s. And it was like a soap opera, because it had so many chilling and thrilling moments. So Indreshwar used to study in a school called Rajkumar College at Rajkot in Gujarat, and students there were exposed to a military-like environment. And having studied in such a school, he was looking forward to a glamorous and adventurous career in the Indian Army. A lot of his uncles and relatives were in the army, and he belonged to a clan that took pride in being fighters. And from the maternal side of his family, there were many members in the armed forces. And so that was Indreshwar's dream true. He wanted to join the armed forces come what may, but Bhagwan had different plans for him. Perhaps Swami did not want to give guns in his hand. Swami had for him things to do which will have lasting impact for humanity. Swami wanted him to march in whites than in olive green uniform. So after his 10th standard, 10th grade exams were over, so he and his friends, they were discussing on how to get admission to St. Xavier's College in Mumbai. Now this is a very reputed college, and all these friends of Indreshwar, they had a lot of plans about how they would enjoy their life once they are in St. Xavier's in Mumbai, their cars and bikes and all from affluent families, and they were thinking about all the excitement that life was going to bring to them as they step into college and graduate from high school. And of course, education and studies was nowhere in the scheme of things. They were only thinking about how they would make most of now being a adult, a young adult, and now in the college and away from home. And that day, after all these plans, he comes home, and as he steps into the house, his grandmother, who is the Rajmata, who Swami very affectionately used to call her Rajmata, and she was indeed the dynasty's revered mother. And being very devoted to Swami, the Rajmata always had the desire to spend more time with Swami. He wanted the entire family to be blessed by Swami. Rajmata used to call Swami as Krishna. For her, Swami was nothing other than her Krishna. And so as Indreshwar came home that evening, Rajmata calls Indreshwar and says, "Indreshwar, we are going to Puttaparthi tomorrow to have Bhagwan's darshan." And that was such a shock for Indreshwar. In fact, his face became absolutely tearful because he had just come with all these plans of having a great life, and why is grandma taking me to Puttaparthi? And as tears sort of started flowing from the face of Indreshwar, grandmother thought that, oh my God, my son loves Swami so much that the very mention of Swami is bringing tears in his eyes. But the tears were actually tears of anxiety and tears of all the dreams being demolished by the grandmother, because Indreshwar thought that once he goes to Puttaparthi, and if Swami tells him to join the college there, That's it. All his plans will have to bite the dust because he felt that if he joins Bhagwan's college, that's it. He has to just do bhajans and just do Nagar Sankirtan and prayers, and that is all his life is going to be, and all his plans of having that excitement and having that time of his life in his youth will be ruined. But then, coming from a family where respect for elders was paramount, he had no choice, he didn't know what to do. So he just kept quiet and he just started wondering now what is going to happen to his life. He thought he's going to get trapped. He thought these will be like golden chains of virtue binding him. And it was not as if he was new to Swami. I mean, he knew Swami, he had great love for Swami, but he just could not think of being a student, because he has seen students in Puttaparthi. They come and sit for hours in the portico, and he felt that I cannot adjust to that kind of an environment, because he came from a background which was into affluence and into adventure and into all the good things of life. And he felt, oh my God, what is going to happen to me? But then he had no choice, and so the next day they come to Puttaparthi, and he was hoping that, you know, it will be a one day visit. He thought, okay, it's going to be a one day visit, and possibly if Swami does not talk to us, then I will be saved. We'll just come back to Jamnagar and I will just apply for St. Xavier's and that's it. It's over, and next time when Swami asks, I have said that I've already joined. And he just thought that, I just hope that Swami is busy, you know, Swami many times is busy, and if by some twist of destiny, if Swami is busy and one day if he does not call us inside for interview room, then we'll just have darshan and come off. And that is what he was hoping. But fortunately or unfortunately, Swami calls the Rajmata inside for an interview room. And left with no choice, Indreshwar also goes inside the interview room, and there is panic palpably hanging over every nerve and sinew of his body. So they all sit down in front of Swami, the ladies on one side, so his grandmother, his mother, his aunt, and he on the other side. And Swami started the conversation. Swami started talking about many things about the grandmother, and he felt, oh my God, thank you, Swami. Please don't raise that topic about my future, about my education. Please discuss about everything else, you know, the family, the properties, whatever, Swami, but don't discuss about my education. And the moment he just got that thought, suddenly Swami looked at Rajmata and Swami said, Rajmata, what about Gopal's studies? And immediately Indreshwar sprung up as if he should not miss that opportunity. And he said, Swami, I have done very well in Rajkumar College. And don't you want me to study there and make a man of myself, Swami? Now I'm ready for the forces. I'm going to join the armed forces. And it will just about take a year or more for me to study. I'm now going to St. Xavier's College in Mumbai. And I'm going to get admission there. By your grace, everything is all right, Swami. You don't have to worry about me. So here was Indreshwar like just telling Swami, you know what, just don't worry about my education. You have many other things to do. Just leave me. I don't want to join here. It was like he was assuring Swami that, you know, I can take care of myself. You don't have to meddle with my journey. That was the kind of assurance that Indreshwar was giving to Swami. And as he finished that, grandmother started speaking. And the grandmother said, Swami, it is my great greatest desire that my grandson studies at your lotus feet. And now, Indreshwar did not know what to say. He had made his case, and now grandmother has presented her prayer, and you can't say anything now. You're sitting in front of Swami. Grandmother is such a revered person. What do you say? And being a very traditional family, the youngsters just have to strictly obey the elders. And now you're sitting right in front of Bhagwan. So he just kept quiet. He just felt that it's all over. I don't have a chance anymore. And he was thinking, Swami, what is going to happen to my life? And then suddenly, Swami says, see, Raj Mata, Gopal is right. You see, everything is all right. He can join my college, but... And Swami stopped. And it was like an eternal moment for Indreshwar, because Swami did not say anything for like 10-15 seconds, and he was looking at Indreshwar, and Indreshwar thought, oh my God, it looked as if Swami was just looking not at him, but Swami was looking into him, into his life, into everything that he has done in his life. It was like Swami was just scanning him through and through, and like Swami was telling, he can join my college, but, and he thought, oh my God, what is Swami now going to say? He thought, now Swami is going to bring out all these things about me, and in front of my grandmother, oh my God. And he was saying, hope, you know, I'm not really done that many bad things. I mean, I've not really been really bad or anything. But, you know, I'm just a boy, and boys do natural things. You know, they go out for movies and all that. We do mischief, and yeah, we don't listen to teachers. And he thought, oh my God, where is this now leading to? And Swami continued to be silent after saying, but, and he was so scared. And then Swami said, Rajmata, Hamara Gopal ko non-vegetarian pasand hai. I said, you know, our Gopal, he's fond of non-vegetarian food. And Indreshwar felt like this seemed like the least of crimes. So it was okay. It was not that bad. So he said, Swami, that is true, Swami. I like non-vegetarian food. And he thought that if this is the way he can escape being a student of Swami's university, because in the hostel in Swami's college, there is only vegetarian food, and if this is the qualification by which he can be disqualified for becoming a student in Swami's university, he said, wow, then that would be a nice way out. The mind is playing tricks. Swami is telling, right, in this point number 27, that evil manipulations of the mind has to be uprooted. So here you see how so many times his mind has been playing these games. He does not want to be a student. He does not want to lead a disciplined life. He does not want to leave non-vegetarian food. So all these things, his mind is playing those games, and right in front of Swami, and Swami is sitting there physically. And Swami said, this Gopal, Swami said, kabhi Bharati ke paas jata hai, kabhi Reshma ke paas jata hai, in Hindi. Now, what is to happen? So, when Swami said, the meaning of this is, this Gopal, sometimes he goes to Bharati, sometimes he goes to Reshma. And when Swami said that, and Bharati and Reshma being names of feminine names, that was such a jolt for the grandmother. The grandmother looked at him, such a bad piercing look. He almost felt, if only the earth would have collapsed and have gone into the netherland, or the netherworlds, that's how he felt. Because what Swami was referring to is Indreshwar actually loved non-vegetarian food, and there was no non-vegetarian food that was cooked at home, especially on Mondays and Thursdays. So what he used to do, he used to sneak out to some shady small joint and have his fill of non-vegetarian food. And Swami actually mentioned this, and after saying all this, Swami said, kabhi Bharati ke paas jata hai, kabhi Reshma ke paas jata. Sometimes he goes to Bharati and sometimes he goes to Reshma. And the grandmother was so aghast at listening this, that this boy has some connection with the females, Bharati and Reshma. But actually the point was, Bharati was an omelette stall that he used to frequently visit, and Reshma was a kebab outlet. But the way Swami said it, this was such a dangerous thing. And now grandmother was so worried. And Swami was giving that mischievous smile. And then Swami said, Dekho, aur bhi bol sakta hai. Bolu? I mean, actually I can tell you many more things about your grandson. Shall I? And Indreshwar was thinking, Swami, you have done enough damage. That is enough, more than enough that you have done for one day, Swami. And Swami said, see, so like this boy, in our college, very difficult. How can we give admission to this kind of a boy in our college? It's very difficult. And so inside him, Indreshwar was feeling very happy that, wow, if all these things are enabling me to not join the college, then so be it, no problem, no problem. But the grandmother now flung herself at Swami's feet and said, Swami, please save this boy, please save this boy. He has been a great nuisance, Swami. This has been a weakness, not just for him, Swami, for the entire Rajput dynasty from the times of yore. They have this problem, Swami. I don't know what to do. It is a genetic weakness, Swami. You please save him, otherwise his soul will go into oblivion, Swami. There is nobody who can save him. And on and on. The grandmother went, and it was a huge scene. Dharma unfolding in front of him, and everybody in the interview room was staring at Indreshwar, and now Swami was simply smiling like that mischievous Krishna. And the grandmother was lamenting at Bhagwan's feet, and before he knew, Indreshwar consented to be the very thing that he had set out with a strong determination not to become, a Sai student. So he had to become a Sai student, but it did not end there. He returned home and he told his friends on what had happened in Parthi. And the friend said, don't worry, we have enough plans and schemes for every problem, don't worry. He said, see, anyway you can't join the college without a selection process. You're going to have a written test, you're going to have an interview. First you have to clear the written test. So they said, it's very simple. Just don't do the written test well. That's it. Just fail the entrance test. But Indreshwar felt, yeah, maybe this is a good idea. Again, another negative manipulation of the mind, manipulation of this company which is spoiling the mind. And he didn't study for the entrance. But a few days before the examination, a Sai devotee came to their house and he said, oh Gopal, you're going to join Swami's college. I heard about that. I'm sure you're working very hard. And I know you will keep up the name of your family. And that is when it struck Gopal that, oh my God, if I fail in the written test, then people here will look down on me. And they might say that, what kind of a boy this guy is. He comes from such a beautiful family, but he could not clear even this written test. His IQ is so low. It is sad that we have now such a member in this glorious family. He thought, oh my God, I might damage my family's name. So I think I should just pass the written test, otherwise the family will be put to disrepute. So he said, okay, it does not matter. I'll just pass the written test, but I will ensure that I don't clear the interview. I will bungle up the interview. So he studied hard and he cleared the written exam. And in the interview, when he was called, the interview panel had many senior teachers, and during the interview, a panel member asked him to sing a bhajan. It was a very difficult situation for Indreshwar because he didn't want to do anything which will bring dishonor to the family. At the same time, he didn't want to do the interview very well. He didn't want to impress them. At the same time, he did not want to do anything which will spoil the family's name. So it was a very tough rope to walk on. And suddenly one of the panel members asked in the interview, can you sing anything? Can you sing a bhajan? And he said, no sir, I don't sing. I don't have a good voice. And I don't really get involved in bhajans and things like that at home. And he thought that, you know, if he says that, obviously it's a message that he's not really interested in these kind of things. And he just thought that that should really put them off. But the panel said, okay, it does not matter if you don't sing any bhajan, but can you sing anything else? Sing a movie song, no problem. You watch movies, right? And he said, okay, yeah, I watch movies. I can sing any movie song. They said, okay, it doesn't matter, you sing a movie song. And so he started off a movie song. Ram teri ganga maili ho gayi hai paapon ki paap dhote dhote. That was one, a very famous song during that era. It's actually nothing devotional as far as the movie goes. It was a normal commercial movie. But this song had the words Ram, Ganga, and Paap. Paap means sins. Ram teri Ganga meli ho gayi paapiyon ke paap dhote dhote. I mean, that is one of the lines of a song. And he started singing that song. And the panelists loved him singing that song. And they said, Gopal, we knew that you are the right candidate. And he thought, oh my God, what did I do? I sang a movie song. And this is a commercial song. What is the right thing I did now, unfortunately? And they said, see, we asked you to sing a Hindi movie song, but you sang about Ram and Ganga and Paap. See, we know you have those seeds of culture in you. And definitely, I think you should join Swami's college. And Indreshwar thought, oh my God, what am I singing? And what are these people thinking? I mean, yes, the word Ram and Ganga was there in that song, but that song had nothing spiritual in it. It was nothing devotional, actually. But since the panelists don't know any movies, they are very, very senior teachers, for them, everything is pious. And it seemed like a very nice song. And they said, congratulations, Gopal, you're becoming a student. Bhagwan is very merciful, very compassionate. If you think that you know what is right for you, Swami knows even better. Swami once told Indreshwar, you studied in the Rajkumar College School, in the Rajkumar School, and made a man of yourself. Now come to my college and make a gentleman of yourself. And then leave the college and tread on the path of my words and find God in yourself. So that is how Indreshwar, by Bhagwan's grace and design, was able to overcome the evil manipulations of the mind and save his life from going in a trajectory that was not as blessed as being a student in Bhagwan's institution. But the reason I share with you this story is not just this. What I'm going to tell you now is something even more interesting. There was a very beautiful experience that Indreshwar, after he became a student, had with Bhagwan. It was about 3 months after he joined Swami's school. He was sitting at the Mandir portico and he was thinking about a person by name Kishore, who had swindled a lot of money from the family's public charitable trust and had deviously turned the family against many other members of the family. He had created a rift and he had benefited from that confusion. And unfortunately, no one was able to nail this person's evil doings in a law court. He was a very smart person. And Indreshwar was feeling so bad that this person had done this to the family. And he didn't know how to vent out his anger on him. So mentally, he was sitting in the mandir, closing his eyes, but he was engaging in his favorite sport, which was boxing. So he is punching away at the person's face. Sitting in the mandir, he has closed his eyes and he was just boxing this person black and blue. Yes, it was not like what a Sai student would do, but he had so much anger against this guy who had ruined and who had happily become grandmother's confidant and cheated her in the process. And nobody was able to do anything. And the people in the family also were saying, okay, it is part of the karmic cycle. Maybe we had to lose. And all these things were going on. And he sitting here as a youngster, his blood was boiling. And he felt all these philosophical reasons were meaningless. And he just felt, if only I could do something with this guy, I would just break his bones. And that is how angry he was with this guy, Kishore. And as he was sitting in the portico in the mandir and he was generously thrashing Kishore, suddenly the interview room door opened and Swami came out and Swami looked straight at him and said, Gopal, come. And so Indreshwar got up and he went to Bhagwan. And as he went inside, he saw Swami's expression. Swami's expression was very grave. And Indreshwar felt that, my God, there is a problem. So he just was sitting quiet. Swami closed the doors and Swami looked at him intently. And Swami sat down and Swami placed his hand on Gopal. And he looked at him into his eyes and said, Gopal, what are you doing? Why are you thinking about Kishore like this? You know, this whole pent-up negativity was there so much. So immediately he exploded. He said, Swami, you know what Kishore has done. He has destroyed the family. He's trying to destroy relationships. He's such an evil man. How can he persist in spite of the fact that we are at the feet of divinity? You are there in our life, Swami. How could a man like this, Kishore, could do this to our family? Swami, you should do something. And Swami smiled very gently and said, yes, I am. I am doing something. I am going to save you from murder, Swami said. Murder? What are you talking, Swami? I was not thinking of killing him. Swami said, this is what you were doing. This is exactly what you were doing. When you were sitting here in the portico, you boxed him black and blue in your mind. You know what? You have killed him thrice. Is it not true? And Indreshwar said, yes, Swami. Yes, that is true, Swami. I mean, but I would not do this physically, Swami. I can't think of murdering him like that physically, Swami. I was just very frustrated, so I was just boxing him. And Swami said, see, God's ways are different from man's ways. By man's laws, you need to kill a person to get into trouble. But in God's books of law, you have done the act by merely thinking of it. So you thought thrice, and the karmic repercussion of it will come back to you sevenfold. Are you ready for it? This is what you have done in less than half an hour over here. And Indreshwar was shocked. Swami said that Kishore will not face as much danger for stealing the money as you are going to face for having killed him. Swami said the celestial laws are different. And after all that explanation, then he asked again to Indreshwar, tell me now, what do you feel about Kishore? You have already killed him thrice, and the karmic celestial laws are very different, and you are going to incur karma for it sevenfold actually. And now Swami asked him, tell me what you feel about Kishore now. And Indreshwar said, Swami, I don't know, Swami, I am very confused. Swami said, I know. You still are not satisfied. You want to take it on him. I said, okay, fine. Go. Go back to boxing. Go. Box him. And now Indreshwar got divine permission, divine reprieve. Yes, go ahead. Go and box this guy to your heart's content and go and settle scores with him. Moment ago, Swami had said stop, but now Swami himself is giving permission. So he said, wow. So he said, no problem. So he closed his eyes, and now sitting right in front of Swami, he started doing this. He started giving him blows, and even more severe blows. In fact, it came to a point where, you know, he was just hammering that person out of shape, and he could hear Kishore screaming, and suddenly he saw the scene change. He saw that they were on the top of a cliff, and there was a sea down below. The waves were crashing against the rocks, and he gave his last blow, and that staggered Kishore. And now Kishore could not take that shot, and Kishore was about to fall down the precipice. He was going to fall down, and down he would have crashed against the rocks and fallen to the sea. And just when he was about to fall, he saw in that scene Swami standing there. And Swami was standing there, and Swami told Gopal, all this is happening in his mind's eye, okay? In the mind's eye. And Swami is sitting physically, but Gopal has closed his eyes and he's doing all this. And so as Kishore is about to fall down, suddenly sees in his mind's eye Swami appearing there. And Swami says, Gopal, what is happening? What is happening? And he says, Swami, I have given the final punch and now Kishore is going to fall. And then Swami said, did you see what is there in Kishore's hands? Until Swami said that, Indreshwar had not noticed. In Kishore's hands, there was a very beautiful child. A lovely baby. And the baby's cute cute eyes were so endearing, so lovable. And looking at that baby's cute eyes, Indreshwar thought, oh my God, if Kishore falls down, what will happen to this baby? The baby has no reason to fall. Why should the baby fall down? No, no, I have to save this baby. Look at how cute she is. Oh my God, I can't do this. So he wanted to save that beautiful child. Thought, why should that baby undergo any suffering? How could that baby go down the rocks? No, no, no. And so immediately he reached out, and even as Kishore was about to fall, he pulled him. With a lot of effort, he saved Kishore and he saved that child, because of that love for the child was so intense that it overcame that hatred for Kishore, and somehow he was able to bring back Kishore from falling down the cliff, and he finally had to embrace Kishore to save him from falling. And he started crying for Swami. Swami, please help me, help me, help me save this child, help me save this child. And finally he was able to pull Kishore and pull the child out of danger. His whole body was sweating for what he had gone through, and finally he was happy that the child was safe. And Swami now touched him. And he opened his eyes. And Swami said, Gopal, how was it? And Indreshwar could not speak anything. Swami asked him, Gopal, do you hate Kishore now? And Indreshwar said, no, Swami. And Swami said, learn this lesson. Whenever you have hatred, you know what you should do? You should bring an object that can pull out love from your heart. Visualize anything that brings out love. It can be a child. It can be a cute little puppy. It can be a harmless being. It can be the most lovable person. It could be anything. But visualize something that will spontaneously bring out love out of your heart, and let this love flow to that object, and from that object to the person you hate. Envelop the person with love. Swami said. And that is how Swami changed the negativity in Indreshwar's life into a positivity that has always remained in his life. Swami said, the evil manipulations of the mind which wants to box, which wants to hate, which wants to revenge, take revenge, all the evil manipulations of the mind which does not want discipline, which does not want a vegetarian meal, vegetarian thoughts, vegetarian mindset. The evil manipulation of the mind has to be uprooted, else it will ruin itself. And the way to do it, Swami told Indreshwar, is to fill it with positivity. Whenever you have someone in front of you towards whom you feel hatred, try to visualize something in that person or something along with that person which will help you to fill that scene with love. And Swami says, love should pour from your being towards that object, and from that object to that person, or to that little facet in that person which you can feel good about. And slowly that is how you should convert these evil manipulations of the mind. And if you don't do this, negativity will build up negativity. Our hatred will in turn bring back more hatred into our lives, because everything that goes around comes around. If we have negative emotions, we will definitely see the repercussions of these negative emotions. it is our best interest to remove these evil manipulations of the mind. And Swami says they have to be uprooted. And that is so important for us. Otherwise, we will be ruining our life. And this is one way what Bhagwan has given to Indreshwar. And there are so many ways that Swami has told us how to control the mind. But I just thought I'll share this one very beautiful episode, though, as I said, every devotee has his own ways of how to get rid of the evil antics of the mind. But this is a must. We all have to pray to Swami to guide us how we can fill every moment around us into positivity. In fact, these are times when we need positivity more than ever before. The whole world needs humongous amounts of energy, positivity, grace and support. And let us spend our time converting every little negative trait in our being into beautiful, radiant flames of positivity. Thank you so much, and we'll continue this satsang in the coming episodes. We'll continue with segment 7.3. There are three more points in this segment before we move on further in chapter 7. Thank you so much for being with me in this journey. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Thank you so much once again. And a loving sign from Prashant Nilayam.